little bit crazy. Let's get a 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 little bit crazy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the late night edition. And by late night, I mean 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Welcome, 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 welcome to another politically special edition of the Javon Show. I am your host, that guy, what does it say right there? I am at Javon Show. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, MySpace. I think I still have a MySpace account. And I don't know, anywhere else that there's social media. I be TikToking and all that good stuff. But we're going to be serious today because we have another political candidate on today's show. And as you all know, I ran for mayor of the town of Normal, and I have a political science major. And with all of that, I am still in need of a political analyst. So I've got the best political analyst in all of North Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, back from his return from, 9 a.m. this morning, freshly napped, here is Mr. Z. Z, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great.
Are you freshly napped? Did you get a nap in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. I went to the Bears game and saw them get stomped by the Cowboys, and my heart is just broken. I don't feel good about what happened today, Z. And I'm hoping that today's conversation makes me feel better. Yep. Because I hope that the state of Texas is doing better than the state of Chicago Bears football. Did you watch the game?
No. I watched, my mom had it on, but I didn't really watch the game.
I get you. What do you root for a team? Do you have a football team?
Well, my cousin used to play for the Cowboys, and he used to play for the Bears, so It's half and half.
Who does he play for now?
I think he got traded to the Eagles.
And guess what they did today?
What?
They won. Anyway, you know what? I'm gonna get happy. I'm gonna get excited because I've got Z, who's my political analyst, and I've got this person right here, Mark Clayton, candidate, Tarrant County judge.
Yes.
I believe that you all may know each other.
Yes. Mm. I've been knowing Z-Bo since he was first born. So this is really amazing to see you in this setting.
Yes, he is he's the political analyst for the Javon Show, and he just helps me understand the politics of my county, of my city, of my state, just a little bit better. So we're going to kick today off, and he's going to ask you some questions. I'm just going to step back, but I want to begin by asking, who is Mark Clayton?
Absolutely. So I'm Mark Clayton. I am the Tarrant County judicial candidate for County Criminal Court 7. That is definitely a tongue twister. County Criminal Court 7 is one of 10 misdemeanor courts here in Tarrant County. By way of background, I'm a former prosecutor in Hood County, Texas. I'm in private practice now, where I primarily handle criminal defense cases, and also had done some family law litigation as well. I'm a native of Oklahoma, but I grew up right here in Tarrant County in Arlington, Texas. And now I'm trying to sow another seed on a higher level and take my service on up.
That is fantastic. And we are so honored to have you on the show today. Before Z gets into his questions, I just want to know this just real simple question. What are your thoughts when it comes to the people who get to vote for judge? Like, is it something that should be open to anybody that maybe has never had a criminal record? Should it be something to where only those who make a certain amount of money should vote? Are we in a position or at a place now in the world to where maybe we need to have more dignified people voting and not just any and everybody?
I believe voting is for the people. This seat will serve all people, no matter how much money you make, no matter what kind of role you serve in the county, what type of job you have, what your upbringing, your background, your schooling, none of that matters, because my court, if you are arrested for some class or A misdemeanor, which it happens to everybody of all kinds, you will end up in, could possibly end up in my court. And so I believe that the people whom this position serves ought to be the people who decide who get to serve in that role. And so for me, everybody, I think vote. Texas is one of the hardest states to vote in, and I believe that's absurd. I believe everybody should have ample opportunity. It just should be open for folks to be able to make their voices heard.
Actually, even those with a criminal record who may have come through and been in your courtroom and are like, oh, I'm going to be biased against Ms. Clayton because she sentenced me and I didn't like what she did. So I'm going to vote for the other person.
Absolutely. And hopefully, because I am going to be a fair judge and I'm going to be a compassionate judge, despite the sentence that someone may receive, I am in hopes that they will too understand very clearly why their sentence is what it is. And I am committed to making sure that my sentences is fair, but on top of that, that the individual has a clear understanding. We're not just going to be passing out judgments or plea deals. We're going to make sure that it is for the individual that's before me.
Excellent, excellent. All right. I know Z has a lot of questions that he wants to bring about, so I'm going to let Z go ahead and take it away.
Okay, so moving on to our first question, what distinguishes you from other candidates for this position?
So right now in the general election, there's myself and one other candidate. And I believe my diverse background, that's experience and in culture, is what makes me stand apart from my opponent. I do have litigation experience, as I mentioned, as a prosecutor. So that's a state's attorney. And then also as a criminal defense attorney, I believe it's important to have seen both roles because those two attorneys are advocating for different things. So they have an obligation to see the case different. And so I've actually had the opportunity to work in both of those roles and evaluate cases from each side. And so even now as a criminal defense attorney, I can talk to my clients and give them the state's attorney standpoint because I've experienced that as well. I've also litigated family law cases. And that's important because oftentimes in family court, when it gets real dirty down there, they attempt to use the criminal court as a pawn to get over on another person. And so I think it's important to be able to distinguish when that is happening. Prior to being an attorney, I worked in corporate America. I was a financial analyst, so I did a lot of data. And so being a judge is more than just hearing and deciding cases. You are actually running the courtroom. So that includes your budget. That includes your administration that's in the court, your docket. We're in charge of that as well. And so it is important that the individual who serves in this role also have those type of administrative, or what I would like to say, the analyst skill set. And so I do have that as well. So I just believe my experience, it is more diverse than my opponents. In addition to that, I am an African-American woman. And we know that majority of the individuals that are coming through criminal court are Black and brown people. And so I believe my life experiences also is a benefit on the bench because I can relate probably to a good portion of the individuals coming through my court. And it's just something different about a judge who's able to put themselves in the person's shoes so that you'll get that different type of judging. And that's where my more compassionate approach would come in.
Well, I was going to ask a follow-up question, but you answered everything.
Sorry. I'm passionate about what I'm doing. Like, I'm serious about what I'm doing. This isn't anything I just rolled out of bed and said, oh, I think I want to go try that this time. Like, I'm really passionate and I have a heart for what I'm doing. So I try to shorten up my answers, but I literally can talk about this all day long.
So I have a question for it. When you become judge, How long are you going to serve? How long would you plan to be a judge for? And why do you plan to be a judge for that long?
Okay, so this particular role, it has a four-year term, and it's not a term limit per se, but every 4 years, I will have to campaign for this seat again. I don't anticipate retiring on a misdemeanor bench. I feel like this is just the beginning of what my career will be. I don't know what's next. I could imagine that my next role, maybe in 8 or 12 years, would be to take a step up to a district court. I'm even open to sitting on a criminal appellate court. I do know that after retirement from whatever, however long I end up serving, I want to go and serve the community through the Innocence Project and work on those type of cases. So as of right now, honestly, I am just following in step with what I feel like I'm being led to do. So I don't have a sure answer for that, but this one term will at least go for 4 years.
4 years? Okay, that's a good answer. So what values, like what things, what values will you exemplify as a sitting judge?
For sure. So my number one thing is restoring compassion to the bench. And oftentimes when people hear that, they think, oh, you're a softy judge. Everybody will just get out of jail. You're going to let everybody go. That is not the truth. So compassionate just means that you are leading with dignity and respect. Every person that comes into the courtroom will feel like humanity, that the courtroom is humanity driven, because that is important to me. I want folks to feel welcome to come to court, to take care of their business, not to feel judged, ashamed, ridiculed, or demeaned. I believe that that's highly inappropriate, and we see it too often in the courtroom. And so one of my top values is just restoring compassion by being humanity driven. And so it's not going to just be the judge, which will be me. I'm going to ensure that the staff that works in Court 7 has the same approach. And that's from the coordinator down to the bailiffs. So number one is just having that humanity driven approach.
So why is that your number one? Why wouldn't you have like another one thing, like where everyone, like where other judges, for example, have like a role where everyone needs to respect them or something? So what made you value that?
Well, to get respect, I believe it must be earned. I can't expect you to show me the utmost respect if I'm being disrespectful to you. We all are humans. So we all have emotions. And if I'm yelling at you, your natural reaction may be to yell back at me, right? Or in some type of way, incite some type of anger. And so if I change my approach and I'm approaching you with love and respect and dignity, then in that same sentiment, I would hope that in return, I get the same thing. I realize that the people who will be before me are probably sometimes at their lowest moment. I know it's not a good day. Who wants to go to court? Who wants to be in front of a judge? Who wants to be worried about whether they're going to jail or getting probation or not getting anything at all? Nobody. So it can be a scary moment. And so why would I, knowing how that person could possibly be feeling, why would I then incite more rage or anger by poking the bear? So if we demonstrate that compassion from the bench, we might see it reciprocated from the individual and getting the respect that we are expecting to receive. But you can't just expect someone to respect you when you're not moving in that same way.
Mm-hmm. So you're moving too fast. Okay. Well, what is a Class A misdemeanor?
Yeah. So my particular court will handle Class A and B misdemeanors. And just for, if you look at it as a scale, starting at the lowest level of a crime is what we call a class C. Anyway, in Texas, anyways, your class C is your tickets, like a speeding ticket. You can have like public in talks or something like that. Next to that is a class B. Your class B is like a possession under 2 ounces. You're an obstruction of a highway, criminal trespass. Next to that, you'll have your class A misdemeanors. So that's a possession, maybe 2 to 4 ounces, or a dangerous drug, or an assault case. If you assault someone and it hurt them, DWI, driving while intoxicated, that's your class A. Theft, certain level, it's a little higher than a class C and B amount. So there's a whole gamut of class A and B cases, but it's still below a felony, which is what we consider like going to big boy jail is what we call it, going to big boy jail. So it's still below a felony type of case.
So I have a question. Do you feel pressured to be more harsh as a judge?
No, I am. I hear that often because compassion is in my platform, and people interpret that and think you'll be soft on crime. I consider it being smart on crime, and I've always been a person that does not mind going against the grain. A lot of people want to hear me say I'm tough on crime, but we have to really think about what that means. What does it mean to be tough on crime? And do we necessarily need to be tough in every situation? No, we need to be smarter on crime and really evaluate our cases and evaluate the individuals that are before us. So while I hear it often that I'll be a softy judge, I know that that's not true. And I am very confident in my platform and what I stand for. So I do not allow that to get to me when people say that I will be soft on crime.
That is an amazing answer. I don't really have any follow-ups. So I guess I'm going to have to pull out my Trump card, you know, my final question. So I believe in some conspiracy theories. I believe in political conspiracy theories. But one that I think is the most true out of them is that the United States is an oligarchy.
Okay.
What are your views on this?
You know what? I'm gonna have to be 1,000% honest with you. I have to go look that word up. Like, okay, Zeebo, he's coming out with the punches. After looking it up and seeing what it actually means, which is the country or an organization of some sort is controlled by a small group of people, right?
Yeah, and it's like these are like the monopolies control the world.
That is why another deal on my platform is representation. I agree. In certain areas, and I will say Tarrant County is one, they're controlled by, like you said, a certain group of individuals, a small group that does not reflect the demographics of the country or the area as a whole. And so representation is another one of, it's really the reason why I stepped out to run was to bring representation. It's important that everybody is represented or have a seat at the table because everybody is affected. And so if we only have this small group of people making decisions over the whole, and you don't know about me or my values, my upbringing, you know, things that are cultural norms to me are not cultural norms to you. So it's going to get lost in the shuffle because you don't think my norm is normal because it's not your normal. And so while I do believe that, is it, how do you say it?
Oligarchy
exists. It does. And I think it exists right here in Tarrant County. I think we as a people have to become more aware and more actionable to ensure that there is representation for everybody and that everybody or somebody, a representative for all the groups, have a seat at the table. That's very important. The United States is a melting pot, and so it doesn't even make sense to be completely controlled by one set of individuals.
So, how do you earn people's votes?
For me, I just be who I am. That's how I've been this entire campaign. I'm giving it to you real, exactly the reasons why I'm here, what I stand for, what I'm going to do, and what my goals are. Even if I get pushback, like I was saying, being called a softy judge, that's not true. And that's fine. You can call me what you want. I know what I stand for. And so I just believe the more genuine I am, the more honest and real, and just you get what you see. That is what people really like. It's time for us to have more transparency in all of these public service roles. No more is the time where we hold ourselves up and make it look as though we're better than the next person. We are not. We're no better. We are human beings just like everybody else. We all have fallen short. We've all made mistakes, and we have all needed grace in some type of way. And so realizing that and recognizing that allows me to be more relatable to the people and just be me. I am who I am. And I'm not trying to hide it, sugarcoat it, or make it look cute for anybody. And so I think that's what people, they're ready for. They're just ready for genuine people to serve and be transparent and be willing to be transparent.
Okay, well, this is my final question. What are your views on, like, the juridical system?
The what is that?
The juridical system. Like, okay.
You got to break. Give me a definition. You come
with juridical, like, words. Like, you know how, like the criminal system. What are your views on the criminal system?
Definitely needs work. where to start? I'm not going to say the entire system is broken, because it's not. It's not functioning the way that it should be functioning, and I don't believe that it's functioning the way that it was intended to function. As I mentioned before, we have to be more vigilant in ensuring that we're setting people up for success. We have to get out of the mindset of lining pockets or doing business when we're talking about real people's lives that are being affected. And so for me, my focus is going to be on individualized justice. So whatever it means for that person, it's not cookie cutter. It's not, you know, you got this charge, here's the result of that case. We have to be more individualized. We have to start taking a better look at the people, because the only way, I believe, to lowering recidivism or keeping folks from coming back is to help them get into a better place. Try to figure out the reason why the crime was committed in the first place. Very rarely do people wake up and decide, I'm going to go commit a crime, or I'm going to go do whatever. More times than not, it's going to be because of a reason, whether that's poverty, homelessness, drug addiction, alcohol abuse, some type of cyclical abuse, whether it's sexual, verbal, physical, mental, emotional. There are reasons why people do what they do. And so if we are actually taking a little bit more time to identify what that is and helping them in that area, I believe we will then start seeing what we wanted our criminal justice system to be. But at this rate, crime is just skyrocketing. We're jailing folks away left and right. We are one of the highest. Our country jails more people than some countries' populations. And so clearly, we're not going to jail our way out of crime or out of the problem that we face. And so we have to start taking a smarter approach and trying to really help people so we can curb the criminal activity.
And then, well, like, I'm going to phrase this question. So, like, what are your views on, like, what are your views on the, like jail? Like, do you think, because I feel like if you jail someone up, once they get out, I feel like they're going to be more abrogated if you throw them into a prison. What are your views on, like, the jail rehab system? Do you think we should change it? Do you think it should stay as it is?
I definitely believe we have to do more to either learn skills, advance our abilities, because when you put someone in jail, it's almost like the time stands still for them and nothing is happening. You're not going to school. You're not doing anything to learn a trade. Like, you're just there. And then you're released and you're told to figure it out. And oftentimes when you have a background now, because you just come out of jail, it's going to be hard to get a job. It's going to be hard to get a place to stay. And then we're just repeating the cycle. So they have to revert back to their old ways. And now they're probably right back in jail. I do believe that we have to be, like I said, more vigilant on ensuring that we are setting people up to succeed. And so in jail, there should be programs that they're required to participate in, not optional. And so that we are building up those skills so that when and it'll be ready to take on society and be a productive citizen to society, so that we're not repeating this vicious cycle of getting out, you have nowhere to go, you have no money, you can't get a job, I'm gonna revert back to the streets and be right back in jail. So yes, there's things that do need to change about the jail and prison system.
Well, that was amazing. Do you have any final words to our viewers and also people watching here? And how can we reach you on social media? How can we vote for you?
So yes, Mark Clayton, it's Mark with a Q. I will be the only Mark with a Q on your ballot. Please vote all the way down the ballot. I think I'm, in most cases, the last person on the ballot with the contested race. You can reach me on all social media. It's right here on my background at Mark for Judge. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And yes, I do TikTok, and they are with election related things. My website is markclaytonforjudge.com. Voting is going on right now. And so if you're in Tarrant County, wherever you're at, please go and vote. It's just that important. It doesn't matter whether you're in Tarrant or not, wherever you're at, you need to go and vote. It's your civic duty. People literally died trying to vote. And now we have the freedom to be able to go and do that. So please get out to the polls. In Texas, early voting ends on this Friday, November 4th. Election day is November the 8th. And I would absolutely love to have your support. Please share my name out with your network, your family, friends, anybody who resides in Tarrant County can vote for me.
That was absolutely amazing. You blew through those questions. You were flying through them. That was.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Judge Clayton, I've got just one follow-up question for you. It's a question that I've asked everyone who has had the pleasure of being interviewed by Z. You are the second person to be interviewed by Z. The first person was Texas State Rep candidate for District 61, Sheena King. And he interviewed her this morning, did an amazing job. How did you think the young man did for his second interview?
Fantastic. You're on it. And how you're tuned in or keyed into the different nuances relating to these roles is just, I'm really blown away. Because like I said, I know Z, when I'm trying to stick with Z, but I call him Zebo, from when he was a baby, 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 fresh out the womb. So how old are you now, Z?
11.
Oh, 11. And here I am saying, okay, can you define that word for me? you're on it. I'm really, really, really proud of you. I really am.
What I appreciate is the fact that these were not questions that we wrote and asked him to ask. He did his research. He went and said, this is what I want to know about this candidate. And then he put the questions together and said, Javon, you send this out and go away. And I said, yes, sir. I will do whatever. Yes, sir. Whatever you want, sir.
Love it.
He's real easy to work for. He's a good boss. Judge Clayton, I thank you so much for coming on the show on this special edition of the Javon Show and for allowing our audience to hear you get interviewed by Z. And we wish you the best of luck in this upcoming election.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be on.
Thank you, Judge. Mr. Z, this is your second interview today. I think it's time for another nap. At least for me, it is. I am exhausted and all I got to do is push buttons. Can we go through some of the comments that people said? Good. So the first person used the real name, so we're not going to go to that person. How dare them. But Marcavelli said, looking good, little cousin. That's pretty cool. Somebody sitting here believes that their child is judicious and genuine. judicious. This family needs big words. Oh my goodness. Sherry Bennett is so proud of this guy being you. You asked some great questions. And Isaac thinks that you're a brilliant young man who, you know, just so happens to not be able to sit still in a chair.
Ah, oh, sorry. I had to.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding with you. This young man, this is what I said. This young man brings heat with the questions because you were not playing like, okay, no, I want to know what this is and this is what it's going to be and this is what I need answered. And then Jealous opposed to be for reform. Great question, Z. You were fantastic today, sir.
Thank you.
Here's the thing, boss, and I'm gonna get in a little close. Here's the thing. We've got more of these to do. We have to get up again next Sunday at 9 a.m. and do this live again.
Okay.
Is this what we're gonna really do? Are we gonna be doing this every Sunday until the election?
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see. If the money's good, right?
Yeah, I haven't been paid yet.
What? Other Z, get this man some chips. I'm going to make sure that you're getting paid as soon as you get off the, you know what? More electronics time this week. I'm speaking it into the atmosphere. That's how you're going to get paid.
Okay, well, I got to go do my homework.
And so do I. So what he's saying is, that's Zeebo, our political analyst. On behalf of Z, I am Javon, and you all, it's time to go vote. Early voting, go out now. Go do your early voting. Go vote. Go now. Go. Just the way that he left, you go right now and go vote. Y'all have a great day. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Get a little bit crazy.